Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I am sitting in my tiny Westtown apartment at the kitchen table speaking with... That's when you come in and say your name.
Patrick Walsh. Pat Walsh. Walsh in this context. Why do you say Patrick? That was a mistake.
You're not a famous musician.
No.
You're not that Pat Walsh. You're a DC guy.
I'm not... Is there a famous musician named Pat
Isn't
Walsh?
Isn't there a famous... Wasn't the guy from Weezer Pat Walsh? Who am I thinking of?
No,
Matt
think
Walsh? Matt Sharp?
I think it's...
Matt Sharp has not Pat or Walsh in the name.
I mean, the most famous Patrick Walsh is a urologist.
Is a urologist?
Urologist.
All right.
He's written multiple books on prostate cancer. He's been on Charlie Rose.
Really?
Yep.
Do you want to be on Charlie Rose?
I would love to be on Charlie Rose.
This is the closest you're going to come in the next week. Maybe a week from now you'll be on Charlie Rose.
I now sadly only watch Charlie Rose every once in a while, but through most of college,
mm-hmm.
I watch Charlie Rose every night.
Do you like Charlie Rose more that you know that he's a tech geek?
Oh, yeah.
And isn't that how he got his, like, broken nose or black eye a year or two ago?
Yeah.
He, like, got the MacBook Air and he wouldn't salvage it or something like that?
It was something weird like that. It was weird when he had a black eye, that's for sure.
Pat...
Did you know that Charlie Rose went to University of North Carolina?
No.
Where he was friends with Charles Kuralt. That's Andy Griffith.
Beethoven's dad?
I don't know, something.
He couldn't have been friends with...
He was friends with Charles Kuralt.
That makes
sense. They started, like, the radio station together.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Those two started the radio station at UNC together, but also Charles... Or other UNC thing... I don't know. Thing
Chapel Hill Music?
There was something where Andy Griffith was the, like, drama teacher for somebody.
Oh, really? That's cool.
I think it was Charles Kuralt.
That would also make sense. I like all three of those men, except...
But, I don't know. Wait. Andy Griffith was, like, high school drama teacher for somebody.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Charles Grodin?
No.
I am thinking of
Charles Kuralt.
All right.
From the CBS Sunday Morning Show, circa, like, 1995.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
That they're the same age, because Charlie Rose has actually aged really well.
Yes, sexy motherfucker.
He is. He's a good-looking man. Yeah. You only swore because you can, didn't you?
Although I've heard... Yeah, I can. Also, heard that... That from somebody who was an intern on Charlie Rose,
mm-hmm.
Kind of lecherous creep.
Kind of what?
Lecherous creep.
Really?
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, was disappointed by that, but also not entirely unsurprised.
Oh, that's awful.
It's like, you know, go-to asshole of public radio.
No, really?
Not Charlie Rose, but Garrison Keillor.
So Keillor's the creep?
Garrison Keillor is a creep and an asshole.
And Charlie Rose is a creep now, too?
Yeah.
No, but Garrison Keillor looks like a creep. And Charlie Rose seems cool.
I don't know.
This is disappointing.
Word on the street, Lutris creep.
I just found out last night, my friend, before they were boyfriend girlfriend, was a guest, not a guest, Jesus, was a member of the Late Night with Craig Ferguson audience, and then Ferguson sent her flowers after the show and asked her to come back. And that was so disappointing to me to find that out.
Yeah.
Is there anyone decent in late night right now? Maybe Colbert. That's the only one I could think of.
Yeah, maybe.
And Fallon, I guess.
I don't know.
It's boring, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's disappointing.
It's like, actually not, it's like, did you hear Fallon on a recent episode of The Nerdist?
I did hear Fallon on The Nerdist. Why? Why do you ask?
He sounded really like just good.
Yeah,
like,
he's
really
a good, nice guy. I just really, like, wish I could like his show.
Yeah,
My friend just started working for him.
Like, I really liked that.
Do you watch the show?
No.
There's a reason.
I don't watch much TV. So.
Well, of course.
It's mostly Antiques Roadshow.
Will you tell the listener at home what you're wearing right now?
A Radiolab t-shirt.
You're wearing a Radiolab t-shirt. You are a fan of the public radio. And where did you meet the people that help make Radiolab?
At Max FunCon. Delightful Nerd Camp.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of, like, radio... like comedy and public radio nerds and podcast nerds hanging out.
That's why Pat's on the show. Pat's going to be one of these guys that, like, in 20 years and 30 years when they make the doc about the music scene, which is inevitably going to happen in every major city, Pat will be the guy that they always mention, like, yeah, Pat was the guy, he brought a bunch of scenes together and all that crap, but you're not in a band.
No.
But you're a very, very, very vital part of this city.
I appreciate that.
Well, that's why you're on the show.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about that.
It's like, I'm just a guy who goes to lots of shows and brings cakes.
No. That's a nice thing because you're pro-diabetes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. No, but I met you at an art gallery that I got to curate, and you were going to see someone that I was meeting for the first time as well.
Okay. Was it Ryan?
You were going to see Ryan Little, who's been on the show, friend of the show, from Terror. He was playing like a experimental ambient noise project. It was good.
It was awesome, because Ryan's awesome.
And you were one of like three people there, and you stayed the entire time, and you like seemed to have a good time.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
Why do you do that? I'm serious. Like, what makes you like to go to shows? Because I feel like the older I get, the less I want to go to shows.
Because I love music, and I have nothing else to do. Like,
don't say it. Okay, no.
If I don't, like, I'm just going to be sitting at home.
But
like,
we can make it clear. You have a job.
Yes.
You're not an eight. Like, you're not on the dole.
No.
Yeah.
But like, that's, like, what else? I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, am I doing something exciting at home?
Would you rather see a show, a rock and roll show, or go to a movie?
Actually, that's the thing about this city.
Continue.
Is that when I was living in Rochester in college, I was going to four or five movies a week.
Yeah.
Because there weren't that many good shows,
yeah,
like rock and roll shows or house. Or actually, house, my preferred genre.
House is your preferred genre. Why house music?
Because I feel like it's the purest. Wouldn't
folk be the purest or opera?
No.
Why house?
No, because it's like music theory on other music, in that it's...
Continue, elaborate.
Essentially in, like, people say, like, this music is repetitious.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's just... But in that repetition, it's about finding it's all about arrangement.
Okay.
Is where the excitement is.
Is it better in headphones or live?
It's lovely in both.
Why? What? You were at the last live show in DC. I think it was the last live show. I did a monologue about how house music exists because there are shitty dads in the 70s and divorce rates skyrocketed.
Yes.
You came up to me after the show very angry.
I took offense to that.
I don't go to clubs that blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, you're not going to real clubs. You're going to venues that happen to have house music. You're not going to
clubs. I love.
Yes, but
I
the
love.
Clubs,
I want
yes,
it.
Yes, yes,
I
yes,
want
yes.
to feel it in my chest.
Really?
Yes.
Do you worry about your hearing?
I never leave home without earplugs.
Really?
Yes.
Do you have earplugs on you now? Are they in your pocket? They're in your pocket. Do you carry them in the case with the keys? You don't have to show me. It's an audio podcast, sir.
Yes, no, okay, but fantastic. I need to show you just to prove that
I'm not
lying. Oh, you
have the case,
lying.
Yes. Yep. You and my friend Brian Nielsen would get along famously. So yeah. The exact same thing. So you're not worried about hearing loss or any of that stuff? Or you
no,
are
I
worried
am
about
worried.
It,
That's why I never leave home without earplugs.
That's brilliant. I do. Sometimes we do marathon shows, and like after, I don't know, 4 hours, your ears feel like glue, like slowly getting hot and loosening up. Yeah. It's not good.
It's anyways. I go to like 10 shows a week.
That's a lot. And it's somewhat of an exaggeration. Or is it?
No.
Let's go through your last week. It's Sunday today, so let's go with last week's Sunday. Last week's Sunday was the day after the flea market that you helped put together.
Yeah. Actually, I think Sunday I didn't.
Sunday was your day of rest.
Yeah, I was.
Monday, I think you saw my show.
Yeah, Monday I saw your show. Tuesday, I have a spreadsheet.
That's awesome.
I'm just going to go to the spreadsheet.
Please do. iPhones are fantastic for spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets are awesome.
Do you like spreadsheets?
Microsoft Excel is my favorite program that exists.
Do you use Microsoft Excel on your phone, or do you just use the Google Doc?
I use the Google Doc for this.
Why not use the Google Doc for everything?
Because Microsoft Excel is more powerful.
PC or Mac user?
Mac.
Okay.
Mac at home, but I'm not anti-PC.
It's okay. Just... Are you a class warrior? Against people with I'm sorry.
I'm not like nerdy about computers. I just have a Mac.
Will you describe your headphones, that not the ones you're wearing right now, but the ones you brought with you to the listener at home while you're pulling up the spreadsheet?
I have my they're kind of my mid headphones that I have.
Because you have how many layers?
I have three levels of headphone. And these ones are my Cost Porta Pro, which below I have you know, earbuds, which are really awesome. And then I have these Cost Porta Pro.
How do I spell which, this? Cost, C-O-S-T?
C-O-S-S. Cost.
Oh, okay.
P-O-R-T-A-P-R-O.
Let's see if we can get me some of these for free from Cost Porta Pro. Porta Pro.
From Cost.
Yeah.
That these are these headphones that they fold up nicely. They sound wonderful.
Do you pick out your headphones based on what you're going to listen to? Like, these are my music, these are my house music ones, these are my rock ones, these are my podcast ones.
I want them to be to listen to whatever I'm listening to.
Did you pull up the spreadsheet?
Sorry.
It's okay.
I put in the wrong password.
It's okay. Wait, never mind. Well, you go to a lot of shows.
Yes, I do.
And they run the gamut.
Run the gamut.
One of your recent Facebook posts was how much you hate DC9.
Yes.
What did you see at DC9?
It was Ra Rasputin.
Okay. And you're friends with someone in the band or the entire band
at this point.
Did you enjoy that show?
Yeah, no, it was good, but it was not the best show. It was great from their part. They played awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the most like undancy crowd I've ever seen.
So it was the crowd's fault.
Which every show I've ever been to at DC9, always crowds are just uninspired.
So it's the venue's fault.
Although and it's also like sound usually sucks there. It wasn't bad for Ferrara. Opening band, it was worse.
Okay.
But sound usually sucks. They door pull, they don't pay.
Wait, they door pull?
Door pulling.
What does that mean?
Is when you enter a venue and they ask you what band you're here to see.
Oh, okay.
And they use that to base the pay of the bands.
But you just said that bands don't get paid.
Well, they don't get paid well at all.
Okay.
Like DC9, I know they take at least $250 off the door before they start paying bands.
Okay, and that's for the sound guy and for the doorman.
Yeah, Rock and Roll Hotel, I know they take like $1,000 off the door before they start paying.
Okay, and how much was that Ra Ra Rasputin show? $8,
$10? Yeah, $8.
Why are shows in this town not cheap for local bands? It seems like every show, regardless of who's playing, is a minimum $8 show.
Yeah.
In terms of like quote-unquote real venues.
Yeah.
You don't work in the real venue system. You're doing stuff outside of the box and actually putting on events that don't suck.
Yes. Actually, the first event I put on was Ra Rasputin.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. This is one of the reasons why you're on the show. You work with Positive Force.
Yes.
And that's related to We Are Family?
Essentially the... He's not, like, in charge of... Mm-hmm. Of Positive Force, but he's the most tenured member.
Who's that?
Is Mark Anderson.
Okay.
Who is in charge of We Are Family.
Okay, so
like,
Mark's...
Like, that's his job.
Got it.
He runs We Are Family.
And Mark's also a part of Positive Force.
Yes.
So all these events are
And like, we share an office.
Got it. Okay. But this isn't your day job when you say you share an office.
No.
This is all volunteer.
Yeah, no, this is all
And you're
all
just
outside.
Doing it for the love of what?
Just love of music, love of... community, like, just want to bring people together and just make good things happen.
Okay,
and
so like, you guys do make good things happen. What is the point of Positive Force?
It's to just be a positive force.
Okay, what does that mean?
To have, you know, bring people together.
Okay.
Good events with positive outcomes, like for good causes.
So the event is the thing.
Yes.
But for We Are Family, it's not the event.
Well, We Are Family, I mean, there are events for that, but the events are more, you know, delivering groceries to seniors.
Yes, so We Are Family is more of
But also, like, you know, get to know the other volunteers, and, like, it's...
Okay, so Positive Force aims more towards the youth culture.
Yeah.
And We Are Family is more towards the community.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. Sure. These organizations have been around for quite a long time.
Yeah, Positive Force has been, like, 25 years.
Yeah, and pretty famous... Thanks to very, very famous fans. Older than you, maybe, even.
Yeah, no, Positive Force is older than I am.
That's weird.
I'm 24.
Yeah.
So.
But they actually book stuff that you wouldn't think you'd see in a church.
Yeah.
Because it's not awful.
Yeah.
Really quick, yeah. I don't know if you want to sully anything, because I know we're talking about really nice stuff here, but I just wanted to mention this. Did you read the City Paper this week? It's their music issue.
Yeah.
Did you read the piece about the Christian Music Fest?
Yeah. No, that was awesome. I was so into that kid.
I just saw CNN.
Like, DIY'd all day.
CNN covered that this morning.
Wow.
I was right before I got on the bus. I saw them in a diner TV. Yeah, they were on CNN this morning.
Yeah.
Is that DIY?
Yes.
Well, let's give it some background here. The City Paper ran this feature about this 17-year-old boy who wanted to do a Christian music festival. So he said,
I'm
going to do a Christian music festival. His parents pretty much bankrolled about a third of it or half of it, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
$50,000, I think, on the rent, and then the rest is donations. And it's all about, I'm going to get POD, I'm going to get Head, I'm going to get a bunch of these. Head is the guy from Korn's band. I'm going to make this happen. Ryan Little, who we just talked about, he's been on the show, he wrote the piece. I did not think it was a good piece. And it wasn't Ryan's fault. I don't think... I shouldn't say it was a good piece. It was a good piece. I don't like this kid because it's not really DIY. He should not be labeled as DIY.
Why not?
That's parent-funded.
It was just a kid who's just doing a thing.
Is it, though?
He's also 17. How is he going to get $75,000 outside of his parents?
Why are you bringing in bands that cost that much then? Shouldn't the scene start at home?
I'm not saying you're wrong. You are not wrong.
But this is something that is
a battle for anybody involved in DIY booking and all ages shows and all of this is. What's too big? Should this all just be home? It's a quandary.
Well, think about what you said about DC9. These bands aren't going to get paid until we have this much cover.
Well, no. See, the thing about DC9, Rock and Roll Hotel, Red Palace, and you were booked by Stephen Lambert.
You don't like Stephen Lambert, apparently?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know these people. I'm new to this.
Fighting words, Steve Lambert is the worst thing in the DC music scene.
I like that this is getting really negative, and I know you're just passionate about things.
Yeah.
I want people to know that. Pat is a very... He's probably the nicest guy in the scene in DC, so he's not... Continue, though. I'm sorry.
No, that those clubs, the way they're run, is just about money. It's just essentially a bar.
It is a business.
Yeah, no, it is a business. Mm-hmm. It's essentially a bar that they're like, oh, we happen to have music to get people to come to this bar.
Well, let's name it's a
not,
venue.
It's not about music.
What that, venue does make it about music? Is there one?
Yeah. No. Black Cat has run great, always.
You think Black Cat's good?
I like Black Cat. I support Black Cat, but... I support Velvet Lounge.
Okay, so it's not just a level thing, because Black Cat is a large venue. Dave Grohl owns it. Yeah. He's a part owner or something like that. It's 2,000 seat, 1,200 seat, something like that.
1,200 on the main stage and 150. No, Black Cat's 600 on the main stage.
Oh, really? I thought it was much larger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. 930 is 1,200 on the main stage.
What do you think of 930
Club? 930
Club,
a little these. You know, it's a big rock club, but for a big rock club, it's done as well as it can be.
You might know 930 Club. It's usually where NPR does their all songs considered live concert stuff. That's where they do it from. You know,
like 930 Club, generally great, great sound. Mm-hmm. They care about the sound.
Okay.
Great sight.
So there's only just a handful of bad venues, you think?
It's just, you know, that, yeah.
So why do bands play them?
Because bands just want shows.
Okay.
And knowing lots of the bands, they generally don't like having to play there.
Okay, then explain how your shows are different.
In that it's just anything, it's just completely DIY. It's just kids
but
doing a show.
We already have already disagreed on what DIY means.
Yes. Because
to me, it means dad's not funding this and he's not a pastor. And also, if you're going to run 10 words about Christian rock, you should have to run 10 words about black metal legally. That should be the new rule.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that these shows that I've done have come completely out of just conversations with friends at some party of hey, we should do a show.
And to me, that's what sounds like, that's DIY.
Yeah.
because you just want to have a good time with your friends, and that's the point. Yeah. The show is the point.
Yeah.
Not the message of Jesus. Sorry, 17-year-old kid. I'm actually not sorry. Why am I focused on these negative things? You're doing such good work.
Yeah,
okay.
No, there are different things that he was like, we're going to do this. Like that the message of that show was, mm-hmm. was the central point. So he put together this idea around this message.
No, the message which I was saved by God. God told me to put on a music festival.
Then he went, like it just depends on the order in which the planning happens.
No, it doesn't. Right. If you're only booking Christian bands, it's a Christian festival, yeah. So the message is more important.
Like this next Saturday, Protect You, Blue Brain, yeah. Pain and Face at St. Stephen's. That's May 21st. Doors at 7:30, music at 8.
How much is it?
Again, $5.
See, that's what it should be!
Yeah. $5, and you know what? Real talk. You show up and say, I don't have $5, we'll let you in.
Yeah, and that's what I like about your shows, because every band on there, Jesus, they're very good. All of the acts on that bill are very good. And you're in a church, but it doesn't feel shitty. And it's clean, right? There's no alcohol.
Yeah,
no
alcohol, no drugs. Just,
yeah. And, yeah. But
No, you can't drink, but, you know, come in with all the heroin you want.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, no.
Drugs are fine, don't drink.
Yes.
What are your smoking policies?
All cool.
Will I get shit outside?
No, it's not cool. That was a joke.
Don't worry about that. Jokes, I mean, outside
here,
the venue.
We're not going to tell you, to not smoke a cigarette.
You might
outside,
get that from
but,
people.
Like it's not about you know, being all high and mighty. Mm-hmm. It's just saying that, like, that's not, this isn't the space for that.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say again, I do drink,
yeah.
personally.
And that's
like,
good. That's good. You understand.
But these shows, I don't drink because that's not what's happening at
yeah.
this. Like, there, you know, there's a time and a place.
Yeah.
This is, well, yeah. I
mean, it's not
this
time or place.
Could be that time or place.
Understood,
but
completely.
That show next Saturday will not be that time or place.
Understood.
Like, that, when you introduce alcohol, it adds a lot of trouble.
If you ran a venue,
mix.
Like your own venue, not just book shows,
yeah.
would you have alcohol?
Yeah, probably.
Okay,
yeah.
Just wondering.
Yeah, I mean, but like you just get all these like licensing and
mm-hmm.
it's just in terms of it adds licensing and police troubles and like the possibility of somebody getting out of control and causing problems.
Yeah.
And we just want to like, we don't want to cause problems with the neighbors.
Yeah.
Or just do good. Just
what time
do good
does
events.
Your show usually end?
By 11.
Okay, that's good. So the teens can get home. That's
yeah.
not a joke.
Yeah.
It's kind of great. Are there any other all-ages venues in the city?
Let's see.
Other than, like, maybe 9:30 because it's so big? It depends on the show, maybe?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm guessing.
Actually, that's one problem I have with Velvet Lounge is they're very, like, very rarely not 21 plus.
Yeah.
Black Cat is more regularly
18, I think.
Yeah,
older.
I think they usually.
So there are
like
a handful
18.
Of places in the city. I think Comet Ping Pong is all ages.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think whatever. So there's no shortage of it.
Yeah, no, but really, we need more.
We need more all ages venues.
Yeah, no, and like a lot of the focus of all ages is like, you know, 16-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
which is something I wish I had had when I was 16.
Yeah.
When I was 16, I was just sitting at home listening to Velvet Underground.
Where,
feeling weird for loving Velvet Underground.
Where did you grow up?
Syracuse,
where were you?
New York.
So at 16, you were in Syracuse, New York.
Yeah.
Do you miss Syracuse, New York?
Not really.
What brought you to D.C.?
I got a job here.
Fantastic. Do you like D.C.?
I love it.
Why?
Love it. Because it's a big city with all the big city stuff. So much to do.
So do you feel like this
so
is a big city?
So fun.
Like a very actual big city?
Yes.
Okay.
But also not the, like, less of the overwhelming bullshit of
yeah.
big city.
What,
like,
what,
also kind of feels like just a little town. Like,
it does feel like a little town.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
It's great.
But it does feel very regional.
Yeah. And you go out and you just run into your friends.
Yeah. It's very easy to run into people in this town. Speaking of running into your friends, you like you said, 10 shows a week. Do you feel like you're too nice to these people? When I say these people, I mean these bands. Like, why are you going? You can't possibly like every single band on every single bill.
No.
And you can't possibly want to go like at the same level of enthusiasm to every single show.
No. But there's some level of enthusiasm.
Okay. So no matter what, there's a little tidbit of hope.
Yeah, like it's not that I go to every show thinking that this is going to be the best show of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because they won't be, because they will not be Daft Punk.
Daft Punk where?
In Toronto.
When?
Greatest thing I've ever done in my life.
Was it the Pyramid?
2011. Okay. 2007, yes.
Where? What? Was it a festival?
No.
It was just a Daft Punk
show.
How long did they play?
I mean, they played for probably about 2 hours.
Why did you enjoy that show so much?
Because Daft Punk changed my life.
How did they change your life?
Unbelievable band. Like, well, they introduced me to like electronic music.
Really? Okay, that's a great introduction.
Like, and also, Homework and Discovery are two of my favorite albums.
You like their Tron work?
I never saw it. I've heard
you have. How the Daft Punk changed your life, and you still haven't heard score?
Well, no, I've heard a lot of it, but
I think they make a cameo in the movie
fine,
as well.
But I wasn't going to go see that movie.
Why?
Because it's a stupid movie.
Well, you haven't seen it.
I've seen the original Tron, and I thought it was a stupid movie, and I don't see why we should make another one.
I'm pretty serious.
Again, I used to be going to like 4 or 5 movies a week.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty serious film nerd. I don't fuck around.
Did you have any interest in making film?
Yes. Well, I was never like good at it, but I will say that did participate in a public access TV show.
Did you really?
In high school. Yep.
What was it called?
Sprime TV.
Sprime TV?
Yep. I'll say that name came out over hanging out one night. Me and a couple friends of mine,
mm-hmm.
and by hanging out, I mean sitting on the third floor of my house watching TV, because that's what we did, because that's all we had to do.
I really hope I have a child like you.
So sitting there watching TV, largely would watch, you know, like Behind the Music.
Because,
you know, it's like 1998. Actually, no.
That you'd be in grade school at that point, wouldn't you?
I would middle school.
Yes. Okay, fine. When I say grade school, I mean
probably,
grade.
Yeah, probably, it's probably 2000, whatever. Hanging out, sitting there, just whatever. Watching a thing on Animal Planet, drinking Sprite. Said something about snake sperm. My friend Dan combined the words snake sperm and
you got
Sprite
Sprime.
Into Sprime.
Are you proud of your work on Sprime?
Not necessarily.
Okay,
but
fine.
There's some of it on YouTube.
Is there really?
Yes.
So people could just YouTube Sprime and it'll show up. It'll see Pat.
Yeah. If you YouTube Sprime TV Pat Walsh, you'll find video of me.
There you go. Fantastic.
Yep.
Favorite film?
Doctor Strangelove.
Why?
You
know, I recommended that in the City Paper like a few weeks ago.
Yeah. No, yeah. I saw that.
By the way, my favorite trailer of all time, hands down.
Yeah.
Number 2, Citizen Kane.
Okay. I don't
know. Trailer.
Citizen Kane, yeah.
Trailer.
Like that Citizen Kane trailer, pretty fucking amazing.
Yes, but still, hiring another director. For those of you that haven't seen it, in YouTube right now, Dr. Strangelove trailer, Kubrick hired one of his favorite filmmakers to make a trailer for the movie, and there's actually a shot, it's very, very, very quick cuts in a time when there really wasn't any quick cuts.
Yeah.
Of Cooper for like 2 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Like right in the middle.
Yep.
And it's brilliant.
But yeah, but Dr. Strangelove just encapsulates everything I love,
mm-hmm.
Which is like just really dry sarcasm.
Yeah.
Also just hatred of males as a gender.
And, I don't think it has
fact,
that.
And the fact that the people say that militarism is the like central like cause of all the problems in mm-hmm. Dr. Strangelove, problems being destroying the universe,
mm-hmm.
or universe, not universe, but Earth, all of Earth,
mm-hmm.
destroying Earth, that is the end of Dr. Strangelove, is that they have destroyed Earth. They say that caused by militarism. I say the main cause is male machismo, whatever. Just aided by the fact that technology has allowed straight males to do this to protect their what am I looking for?
Breed?
No, I was looking to say
brood.
Looking to say the words that they use in the movie, and I forgot.
No, it's not going to come to you.
Not coming to me, but also just a like really hilarious, really thought-provoking, really awesome movie.
It is. It's very good. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with you about that, but you don't want to make...
Also, Stanley Kubrick's my favorite director of all time.
So. Even after Eyes Wide Shut.
I love Eyes Wide Shut.
Fantastic. Great movie. I want to go to a mask party and just see what happens.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's inviting me, but...
Maybe after a podcast, because that's what most people that listen to podcasts do. They go to mask parties.
Secret sex party? You listen to Jordan Jesse Go.
I don't
big,
actually.
Big theme of Jordan Jesse Go that Jordan always interested in secret sex parties.
Sorry, buddy. That's your. Let's talk about the podcast. How long have you been listening to podcasts?
Actually, what got me started on podcasts was watching Charlie Rose.
Really?
Let's see. It was my junior college.
Okay.
Junior college. Late winter to spring of 2007.
Okay.
One day, just had this dude named Ira Glass on.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about this new TV version of a radio show he did. Okay. On. The show was called This American Life. I was intrigued, so okay. I checked out the radio show.
And you
every night since then, pretty much, I've listened to This American Life as I've gone to sleep.
Really?
Yep.
What's your favorite episode?
Act 5.
Which one is that?
It's episode like 235 or so.
Okay, like what's it about?
It's one story in the whole episode about these prisoners in this prison in Illinois doing Hamlet.
Oh, I think I have heard this one.
Doing a production of Hamlet.
Yes.
Except they have to do it one act at a time.
Yes.
So this time they're doing Act 5.
Yes, I have heard that one.
The name.
My favorite is when they visit Mr. Rogers.
That's pretty awesome. That's, I mean, Mr. Rogers is one of the best.
He's my idol.
Yeah, yeah. Should be. Like, he's one of my idols of life. Like,
yeah.
Just one of the best people that there is.
I know. That's the thing about my whole, like, anti-religion thing. It's like, well, he was a pastor, though. It's,
yeah.
Like, hard to
it's
just...
like, he has a doctorate in theology.
I know, but he liked jazz. Like, it's, like, hard to hate him.
Yeah.
And I don't obviously,
like,
not hate him.
If anybody says anything bad about Mr. Rogers, like, I will, one, punch them.
Have you ever punched anyone?
Just think they're wrong. No.
There you go. Because no one would ever say anything bad about Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, exactly. But if they did,
the,
like,
Navy. What do you think?
Y'all
of the
better
Navy,
watch out.
The Navy SEAL stuff. You could have a sip of your coffee first. Don't worry. He's trying to be very, very polite on the air and doesn't want to ruin the flow. Do you know the rumor, the urban legend, Mr. Rogers was a Navy SEAL?
I just think that it's an urban legend that people came up
it
with
is.
Because it's kind of funny.
That bothers me. Because I think Mr. Rogers is not a Navy SEAL. In reality, is 10 times cooler than if he was a Navy SEAL.
Oh, no, he's way cooler than if he was a Navy SEAL.
In an ideal world,
like,
we just have...
he's one of the coolest people that there is.
Robot Mr. Rogers is the only thing that could save this entire civilization forever.
Yeah.
Forever!
No, we should all aspire to be Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Dude rocks a cardigan like no other.
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah.
That's not a joke.
Yeah, no.
Like, that was a good tangent. Maybe like,
I support a nice cardigan.
Okay.
Say I only have two nice cardigans, but I like them.
In addition to the podcasting love and the film love and the music love, you also
the love love?
The comedy nerd. We're not gonna talk about the love love.
I mean, I love that you
you're
know,
a fan
like,
of love.
Like the band.
About
the band.
Love.
Forever Changes.
Arthur Lee.
One of the best records that there is, Forever Changes.
Did you I think it was a Sound of Opinions, something where they talk of, or actually it might have been a WTF about like why love never got bigger. It was very interesting. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it's like 2 months ago.
Yeah, I have a similar like hazy recollection.
Yeah.
Listen to so many podcasts, it's hard to say. Oh, actually, quick tip.
Go ahead.
This is some inside talk. WTF? We all recognize one of the best podcasts out there. There is a public radio version. That is forthcoming, going to be distributed by PRX.
Oh.
I've listened to 5 episodes of it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who are the guests?
It's all just from the
Oh, from the
from
back
the show, yeah.
They just cut out the swears and
yeah,
stuff.
Cut out the swears, cleaned it up, like replaced the you know, beginning just Mark parts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? What
do
they
like
have
public
it now?
Radio, no, with public radio friendly just Mark parts.
Interesting.
But like the ones I heard were, you know, I'm trying to remember now. Well, the Paul Feig.
Okay.
Which was awesome.
I don't know if I've listened to that one yet.
It's awesome. Like lots of talk of like, interesting thing. Paul Feig in high school had like a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
used it to get like Jerry Seinfeld on his radio show, on his high school radio
Judd Apatow?
Show. No, I swear. Oh, wait.
It was Judd Apatow. And then they played the tapes?
Oh, well, no. Okay. You know, this on the that radio was, show was the Paul Feig, but that was Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
I'm a fuck up.
We've gone so deep into the wormhole of podcasting stuff.
Well,
no, it's
I'll
not
back
bad.
Out.
It's not bad.
I'll back
you're
out.
Good. You're good.
I'll back out. But, I mean, there's the Robin Williams.
Of course, there's... I don't think anyone listening to this doesn't know what that is. Trust me.
No, if you haven't heard WTF, listen to WTF.
Last night on the show, I had Jenna Friedman on the show. I mean, she's been on the show.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
Wyatt's been on the show. Hannibal's been on the show. Yeah. Some people I know have been on the show.
But WTF is now going to be a public radio show.
Well, how do you feel about that?
I feel it's awesome.
Okay. I want to talk
about just get it out to as many people as
you're
possible.
You're a comedy nerd. You're a self-proclaimed comedy nerd.
Sure.
You said that right before we started recording. I'm not like insulting you.
Yes. No. I mean, I just don't want to like inflate my comedy nerdism. I'd put it at my number five nerdism.
What's your number? It's below cooking.
Yeah. Music, cooking, film, public radio, comedy.
Public radio? Does that encompass... Wow. Does that encompass podcasts?
Public radio / podcasts.
The two worst things to say in a row on a podcast. Public radio. Just popping peas. It's awful. I apologize. Listener at home. Don't do that. It's so annoying. If you listen back. And I've noticed I've been doing the click a lot when I've been doing the monologue.
Because we're speaking in an African click language.
Nope. That's just racist.
Yep. That's how you roll.
Have you been accused of racism?
Yes.
Really?
I think
that was a throwaway question, but really? That's surprising.
I mean, probably...
The better question
probably
should have been, are you a racist?
It was probably facetious. Yeah. I just said yes quickly, just because it would be funny.
You're nice. Do you make art?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, no.
Why not? You're obviously interested. What's holding you back?
Because I've always sucked at it. The only thing I've been any good at is cooking.
That's awesome. Do you want to do a cooking show?
I mean, I'm not opposed to it.
What's your favorite thing to cook? To cook.
Cooking? Well, I mean, Mexican food is my specialty.
Okay. What's your favorite thing to eat?
I just love it all. Like,
really?
Like, eating's the best.
Eating is pretty good.
That's why I'm a fat kid.
You're not a fat kid.
Not as fat as I once was.
Oh, that's fair. I don't know you from before.
Yeah. No. In the history of Pat Walsh's, this is the thin Pat Walsh.
Okay. When did you start cooking?
I was probably in middle school or so.
Really?
Yeah.
So you cooked throughout high school and college.
Oh, yeah.
You were... What did your parents think of that?
They're totally... My mom... Well, actually, how it started was... I'll tell the story. One day, I was in middle school or so... you know, come home from school, whatever. I was hanging out. I had nothing else to do. There were some old bananas sitting there. My mom had a really great banana bread recipe, which I'll share with anybody if they want it.
You're so nice. I'm not joking. That's just so nice.
Such a great banana bread recipe. Super easy. And had these, like, you know, three or four old bananas that are, like, past, like, anybody's going to eat those bananas, but great for banana bread. There was often banana bread in the Walsh household. So I was like, hey, Mom, look, these are banana bread bananas. Like, can you make a loaf of banana bread? She's like, you know, she's, you know, harried mom, understandable. She has all three kids to take care of and work and all that. She's like, no, Pat, I don't have time to do this tonight. But you know what? It's not hard. Here's the recipe.
Okay.
And
a lifelong affair began.
I was bored. I was like, what the hell? Because I probably wouldn't say hell at the time because, you know.
That is the cutest, most all-American story ever.
So I just made some banana bread. Turned out it was awesome. And then I like, and through time, you know, I'd watch like a lot of Food Network and like really
what do you
into
like
Good
more?
Eats.
Food Network, by the way, it's going off the air. Sorry.
Is it?
Or
well,
they stopped making new episodes.
I haven't watched it in years. But,
seems to be the thing.
But
everybody
in high
used
school,
to love that show.
In high school, I was all about Good Eats. Now all about America's Test Kitchen.
Here, okay. I think we've mentioned, have we talked about this before?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I can't enjoy that show the way I should enjoy that show.
America's Test Kitchen?
Yes.
You don't enjoy it?
Obviously.
I don't support Christopher Kimball's bow tie wearing.
Okay, there we go. Let's start there.
Sartorially, I don't. I think that he looks like a bit of a doofus.
Thank you.
But he's a charming Vermonter
really?
Doofus.
You think he's charming?
He's a charming Vermontonian doofus.
Maybe I don't know enough Vermontonians to embrace his culture, but I don't. I'm not a fan.
Again, Vermont and upstate New York.
Similar?
Pretty much the same thing.
Okay. What does that mean when you say that?
Like, I don't know. It's just a certain, like, mindset. A certain, like, you know, we're just going to do this.
What is this? Like,
whatever
blue
this
blood,
is.
Fans of public radio like yourself. We're going to... I'm guessing. I don't know. What does that mean?
It's unpretentious.
Unpretentious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very unpretentious.
He seems to be the angriest cook on television.
Christopher Kimball?
Yes.
Like, I just want to cuddle up with Christopher
Kimball. I think
Kimball.
He has disdain for his crowd. Like, whenever they do the testings, and he seems very angry. And he seems to really enjoy the company of one of the women and not the other woman. You know what I'm talking about? Like, he hates the blonde and likes the brunette or something like that.
No, I know what you're referencing, but I don't...
You don't agree with any of it?
I think it's this, like, sort of self-effacing, like...
You think Christopher Kimball's self-effacing?
Although the bow tie brings into question. I do not support bow ties.
I think,
if you're wearing a vest, a three piece suit, you can pull off a bow tie.
Uh-huh.
But showing too much shirt, I don't support wearing any sort of tie without a coat.
Okay, what are your thoughts about white undershirts?
I mean, undershirts. Under clothing, you should
No. But usually in this city that we both live in, you will see every man have a white undershirt on underneath his whatever. By the end of the day, you will now see the white undershirt for the rest of the night. And everyone looks like they're in high school to me because of that.
Like just the white undershirt?
No. Like, you could see that, like, everyone's has a Hanes white undershirt underneath their whatever.
Yeah.
That's very, to me, that's something that's not right.
I don't know. I think that you should just make the effort that you don't see the undershirt.
Exactly. But these people don't.
Underclothing. Like,
exactly.
Whatever. Like, that's not for public.
I agree, but in this city, it's become the uniform.
It's like commenting on people, you know, boxer versus briefs. Like, you know, whatever feels comfortable to you.
That's fair.
Like, I don't care. Like, whatever. Like, this has no effect on my vote for president. So fuck you, Jay Leno, for asking. Also, fuck you, Jay Leno, for just, like, making a really, really, like, mega mediocre. Like, all you just aim to do is be mediocre.
For what?
None of that. Yeah.
Okay,
no.
here's the thing.
I'm just, like I hate things that just aim to be mediocre much more than, like, things that just try and suck.
I understand what you're saying. But let's think about the history of The Tonight Show. Okay?
Okay.
It was never, in our lifetime, it was never cutting edge.
No.
It's never been aimed towards our demographic.
No.
The Tonight Show is supposed to be the Afghan that you sleep with every night.
But it is. But why do you sleep with mediocrity? I sleep with This American Life.
That's fine.
Like,
it's not for you. It's not targeted for you. That's what the thing is.
But why are people, like, spending their time on things that they don't think are the best?
Then don't bring it up. Like, that's what I'm saying. You don't spend time with Lana, right?
No.
So why hate it?
Well, okay. I agree with that.
You brought
up Leno.
You just brought up Leno because you said fuck you, Leno, for asking the boxer versus brief question.
Okay, maybe I did.
Yeah.
And
this has come up should I
get into my opinions on suspenders?
Please go ahead.
Which is that, sure, like, a pretty great pant retention system should never be seen.
That's not true at all.
That's underwear.
That's not true at all.
It's an undergarment.
That's not fair at all.
I don't want to see your suspenders.
What about a belt?
Sure.
How was that pant suspension system?
I mean, it's in terms of pant suspension, suspenders do a better job, better at it.
It depends on what you're wearing.
But they keep the shirt tucked in.
Why are you're assuming your shirt's gonna be tucked in?
Well,
you're wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, I'm wearing a t-shirt that's not tucked in.
Exactly. Why would you tuck in a t-shirt? That's weird to me.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Well, no. Oh, see. This is wardrobe of Patrick Walsh.
Yeah.
That I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Patrick Walsh always wearing a suit, like a suit or at least a sports coat
to work.
Always got a pocket. There's gonna be pocket square.
Okay. I don't always agree with that. I like a flower more than a pocket square.
No. That's acceptable as well.
Okay. What is your stance on buttons on lapels?
Wait.
Rather than have a pocket square, sometimes I put a button there.
Oh.
BUTTON. The lapel. Yeah. Yes.
I was like,
No. I could understand where you got confused.
Yeah. Okay.
But if I have a certain guest on, like when I had a sports writer on, I wore my Chicago Bulls button rather than a pocket square or a flower.
A pin.
But when I think of pin, I think of corsage. It's not a lapel pin, technically, because a lapel pin's just different.
Oh, I mean, like,
see what I mean?
Like if it's, if
I'm
it's
talking
with
like a punk rock 1-inch button.
If it's with a purpose, a lapel pin, lapel button, sure.
So
I've certainly worn a lapel pin at work.
So this should never. So the
work related.
What is this area? It's not the breast pocket, but the chest area.
Yeah.
The coat should be adorned with at least one thing.
I mean, well,
but
you
only
have,
one thing.
You have the opportunity to like add something lovely.
Yes, but more than one thing ever.
Well, I mean, like. A pocket square and a lapel pin.
That
sure.
seems like too much to me. Pick one.
A single small pin.
So like the little American flag that.
Yeah.
That's fine. With the pocket square.
I mean, I actually would prefer without the lapel pin. Like I just.
But
I
I'm
just
saying
want
if
the square.
Like the president kind of has to wear it.
Yeah. Yes. No. Like, you're a president. You're a, you know, you're on TV news.
Exactly.
Like yes.
I do like when the president.
It's
does
like at work. Like I you know I wear. The lapel pin of the association I work for.
Oh, really?
Is
that encouraged, or do you just think it's neat to do?
It's encouraged, and it's neat to do.
That's nice.
We have them.
That's cool.
Well, not.
That's amazing.
Like, it's there to represent
that
this is who I'm representing.
That's fantastic.
When I'm here. But, you know, like, I don't wear it, like, every day at work, because I just wear a suit, because I think it looks nice.
Where
I
do
like
you get your
nice.
Suits?
Largely eBay.
Really?
I'm a savvy eBay shopper.
How's that going? No joke.
Going real well.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you go to a tailor?
Yeah. No, when you need alterations from what you get, bring it to a tailor.
Okay. Where's your tailor? Do you have a guy yet or no?
My tailor for like hardcore, like, you know, refittings, I bring it to Christopher Kim on M Street. I think it's 20th and M.
Okay. How much
it's
is
right
that?
Near my office.
How much would that
it's,
run?
It's pricey-ish.
Okay.
Like, you know, it'll be like $50.
So you might buy like a $30 suit, and now it's an $80 suit after this. That's still not bad.
Yeah. Whereas if I need, like, if I get it in, like, the, you know, the suit coat fits nice, or like just need like the pants, the hem taken out. Like,
of course.
Like half an inch or something. I'll just bring that to, you know, to
the
dry
local
cleaner.
Whatever. Okay.
Dry cleaner alterations, and, you know, then that'll be like $8.
So you like getting dressed up?
I love it.
Okay, why didn't you dress up for this audio interview?
Because Pat Walsh came to this audio
interview. No, but it's not. You're not dressed poorly.
Yeah,
you look put together. You're nothing. I look like 1998.
Yeah, I don't like 1998.
I'm
all
wearing
that much.
The flannel shirt I always wear on Megabus because I came from Megabus.
I'll say all through high school, all through middle school, I never wore anything other than a plaid button-down shirt.
Really?
Ever.
So this is like new to you, wearing a Radiolab shirt and jeans and stuff.
Yeah, no, that came about like sophomore year of college.
Ooh,
I started
was
wearing,
it liberating?
I started wearing t-shirts, and yes, it was liberating.
All those years for me were just wearing like Foo Fighters and Nirvana t-shirts. So I'm good.
All right. 90s music, bit of a like lacuna for me. A hole.
Did you hear that, by the way? I hear we have headphones on, but I swear to God, I heard like a raccoon like dying outside or something. Look to your right, Pat. It's going to monsoon soonish.
Oh,
it's awful outside.
So this walk home is going to be unpleasant.
Yeah, let's close this interview. Let's plug this show again.
Okay,
May 21st. Continue.
St. Stephen's Church, corner of 16th and Newton in Columbia Heights. For those of you,
I highly recommend going if you're interested at all in DC music.
Yeah. Protect You and Blue Brain and Pain of Face.
And Blue Brain doesn't play out that often, do they? It's like once every 3 months, it seems.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because their music is fantastic.
Yeah. Both really, really wonderful electronic like dance music.
And Painted Face is just fun. Did you hear that?
What? Oh,
it wasn't me. Like, it was from the outside.
Okay, you're blaming it on the outside. I think it was you.
It was from the outside.
Yeah, it was all you, Brandon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Going to be awesome.
And what's the website people could check out for other shows that are coming up? Do you guys have a website?
We do. I
only know about the shows, honestly, because of your Facebook invites.
Yeah. I mean, you can check out, we have a Facebook group or
what's it called?
Something page of for Positive Force.
Just go Positive Force DC in Facebook. It'll show up.
Yeah. Look up Positive Force DC on Facebook. Get an email, DC Positive Force.
Who's going to do that? Don't you feel kind of weird about doing that? Have you ever done that? People are like, you can just email. It's like, nah, I'm good.
No, I mean, if you email that, I'll get that email and I'll respond to it.
I know. It's a little weird to me.
You could follow us on Twitter.
That's good.
At twitter.com/positiveforcedc.
That's a good one. I like that one. Let's close this interview.
Do that.
Question from the Kids Bigger Questions. So,
right.
I need you to pick a number between 39 and 243.
142.
142. We were retiring the book this year, so a lot of the numbers don't exist anymore. This 142 doesn't. You get 154.
Okay. That's whatever.
Exactly. 154. Ooh, this is good. Have you had any personal experiences that led you to believe in God?
Oh, wow.
If so, why do you think there are so many people who haven't had such experiences? If not, why do you think so many other people have had them?
Wow.
Isn't that great? Kids book of questions. You got a good one.
Yeah. All right. I'll say, actually, my most intense, important personal experience that would make me think about these things was a little over 5 years ago, getting maudlin now, a little over 5 years ago, had a skiing accident.
Oh, Jesus.
Where I essentially went off a jump, did half a backflip accidentally.
Oh.
Landed on my head.
It's the opposite of good.
Ended up spending the next 25 days in the hospital.
Whoa!
Like, I was unconscious for 5 days. That's why this Protect You show is benefit for the Brain Injury Association.
Awesome.
Is that this
you
brain...
I don't think you mentioned that before.
Yeah. It kind of completely changed my, like, outlook on life,
yeah.
I guess. And again, it's tough to, like, I don't want to get all talking about God.
You can just make a dick joke if you want to make it lighter.
Yeah. But
you don't
in terms of that,
you've had an experience.
I was pretty close to, like, yeah. not too far from death.
There. Yeah. And it sounds great.
And actually what made it even weirder was, 3 years later to the day minus one day.
Okay.
That happened on March 17th, 2006.
Okay.
St. Patrick's Day.
Uh-huh.
then March 16th, 2009, uh-huh. shortly after I moved to DC, actress Natasha Richardson
was
skiing. Both happened at Mont Tremblant.
Really?
Both went to the same hospitals.
Weird.
She had a similar, very similar brain injury.
Wow.
She ended up dying.
Wow.
That was real weird.
Wow. Did you proceed to call your father and he told you to get under the bed and then you got kidnapped?
No. Okay. No. I mean, I'll say my family still to this day often tell me to wear a helmet.
Do you?
If I'm biking.
Okay. Have you skied since?
No.
Will you ever ski again?
Don't plan on it.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Yeah. Also, like skiing was like my like fun crazy thing to do.
Yeah.
And that kind of took out the fun of like.
Yeah, like, I could imagine.
Like it just makes it kind of scary.
Yeah, wow.
If I did ski, I'd wear a helmet, and also recommend to anybody out there wear a helmet because
that's pretty, good advice.
Pretty most, stupid not to.
I didn't know that you should wear a helmet skiing. I mean, I skied a handful of times, never.
Yeah, no, wear a helmet
like that. Well, thanks for doing the show.
Yeah,
and I'm glad you're alive.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Not a problem.
I'm very glad I'm alive too, and glad to be here. And
yeah,
like,
keep
again,
doing
that,
stuff,
that's
buddy.
Why I like go to 10 shows a week and have a good
you,
time.
Yeah.
So that I know that, like, the hell knows when you're just going to die? Like,
it's
whatever.
Like,
just make every day great.
Please take this in the way I mean it. That couldn't have happened to you at a better time.
No,
it, you know what I mean?
It's true.
Yeah. It's like, you're like, what, they were like 19 at the time?
Yeah.
That's like the perfect time, because it's like, enjoy everything.
Yeah. Nope. Exactly. That's why I enjoy everything. And I guess I should have brought that up when you were asking me why I go to 10 shows a week. Is that?
Yeah, that's the answer, buddy. That's it, right.
That
there,
is the man. Answer right there.
So, just hey, 19-year-olds, go skiing. 20 and older, stay in.
Yeah.
That's my advice,
like,
as well.
Just try to make every day as awesome as you can, because, like, you know.
It's great advice.
Whatever.
Thanks for doing the show.
That's what you got to do.
And people can go, what's the Facebook group again? And the Twitter?
I think it's Facebook/Positive Force.
And Twitter is?
Positive Force DC. I don't know. If you want to, you can email DCPositiveForce@gmail.com.
There you go.
That's DC Positive Force, not Positive Force.
And
DC,
in addition to shows,
confusion before.
They also do, like, occasionally they'll do like a flea market. They do it like every
yeah,
six months.
Yeah, that's every 6 months.
It's the best. I bought an amazing
punk rock
shirt
flea market.
There. And just other random awesome events and
events all the time that are great.
People, when they see you out, they should buy you a drink. You'll probably be wearing something adorned with an NPR logo of some sort.
I'll say I have a Radiolab T-shirt. I have a This American Life T-shirt. I have the Sound of Young America T-shirt. I think those are my only three Pollock Radio T-shirts.
How many totes do you have?
I have a Radiolab tote bag and a Sound of Young America tote
bag. Yeah, you only have five.
That's NPR only. It's like
items.
I have a This American Life coffee mug.
Oh my
I have
God.
A WMU.
And on that note, everybody.
Oh, I have a WNYC messenger bag. I have a WAMU water bottle.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man is funding all the shows that you've been downloading for free. Thanks to Pat. Here's Daniel Knox. Have a wonderful evening.
All right, great. Rock and roll.
And I wonder, I cringe and I pout. I'm heart sick, but the doctor is out. I told you your eyes look like the stars, but people say stupid things in bars. I'm dragging my knuckles, my knees till they hurt. I'm wiping the blood on my shirt. I sing to the mirror alone. Pants at my ankles and ass in my throne. Call me a fake, call me a fool. Egg on my face, blood in my stool. There's nothing worse than waking up without knowing how you got there or how.